This is Beyond the Showroom, where you'll learn tips and techniques on the car buying process, how to get the best deal, what scams to watch out for, and much more. Here's your host and one of the foremost automotive business experts in the country, the Chevy Dude, Mike Davenport.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Beyond the Showroom podcast. I am Mike Davenport, joined by my lovely wife, Andy.
Hello, everyone.
Excited to be here tonight?
Of course.
Today, this afternoon?
Today, tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited about this episode because we're going to talk about many things in relations to trading in your car. My dealership is a top 200 Chevy dealership in the country, and we have a pretty aggressive used car strategy. Not going to really get into the details of the used car strategy because we don't want our other people in the area knowing what our strategy is. But used car dealerships or new car dealerships do definitely rely on used car inventory and getting trade-ins. And so dealerships are out there being very, very aggressive on getting trade-ins, buying cars at auction that are, good cars off auction, stuff like that. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So it's imperative for a dealership to get trades and sell used cars because the average net new car profit is 2% net. That means after they pay me, after they pay the lights, after they pay everybody else involved in the dealership that gets paid, 2% net profit. So it's not a whole lot of profit in there. That means all the holdback you get from the manufacturers and everything like that. And that's why you see more and more dealers getting out there and being volume dealers. So there's many theories behind trading, selling it privately, selling it to, someone like Carvana or CarMax, stuff like that, telling the dealership at the last minute that you have a trade-in, like holding that, like pigeonholing it. The dealerships, they call that airdropping your trade-in. Have you ever heard that terminology, airdropping your trade-in?
No.
Yeah, so they call it parachuting, airdropping, stuff like that. It's kind of some slang behind the scenes out there. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all that stuff when you're replacing a car in your household. So where most people choose to trade, there is a science behind the proper research to determine the value of your car. Most of you do it all wrong. I promise you that right now. I sell 30, 40, 50 cars a month, and I have a lot of trade-ins, and that's my only number one concern that I ever have with someone is what my car is worth. They do the wrong research. Someone tells them, they call, ooh, that's the one I forgot to talk about. They call the wrong people, they get the wrong information off the internet, and that's what they go in, and then they're throwing a curveball, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about how you can get the most money for your trade and the proper avenues to trade it. But we do have a routine sponsor on the Beyond the Showroom podcast, so we appreciate that. And when we talk about our sponsors, they're a big, big portion of our podcast, and they support us. So all we do is ask you to support them. So you guys know I travel a lot, and I'm on public Wi-Fi a lot. So when I'm using public Wi-Fi or if I'm in a hotel or at the airport, I use a secure VPN service and then encrypt all that data I'm sending. I want to introduce you guys to Surfshark VPN. So Surfshark VPN is really, really aggressive VPN. It's a new feature in Surfshark that is called Hatlock. It provides you an extra layer of security. Hatlock scans databases for possible emails and password leaks and provides you a user real-time alerts, any personal information that was leaked and found available on the internet. So here's the best part of the VPN deal for all of you guys, my viewers and listeners. You can get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.com/ChevyDude. If you enter promo code ChevyDude, you're going to get 83% off and one extra month of subscription. So for the viewers during the live stream, you see that on your screen now, go to surfshark.com/ChevyDude and enter the promo code ChevyDude, and you'll get 83% off and one extra free month. This is who I use for my VPN as well. I have it on my cell phone, and we're running VPN on this stuff as well here in the studio. So check them out. They're a great sponsor for the video and for the podcast, and they're going to help you protect yourself as well. So you can always text your topic-related questions in to 502-909-5192. And is that going up? I got one screen up here. There it is. So you got that number on your screen. It's 502-909-5192. You can text throughout the week. You can call and leave voice messages, all that good stuff. And if you want to guarantee your question gets answered, feel free to use the Super Chat feature or becoming a member of this channel. and you'll get all that stuff. So join us live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the Chevy Dude YouTube channel for our live broadcast. And then every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern time. You hear that, Adam? Adam, 6 a.m. Eastern time. Adam is my editor, and he's in Central time, and he uploaded the last 2 weeks at 6 a.m. Central time, which is 7 o'clock Eastern time. Okay. Adam, you hear that? Adam's a good friend of mine, longtime friend. And I'm glad he's on here helping me out, because it means a lot. So a couple of topics we're going to talk about in tonight's episode is how to properly determine your trade value, how to get out of negative equity. This is the big one, guys. This is a huge thing that people get asked all the time, is how to get out of negative equity. What's the best way? How to market your car if you decide to sell it on your own, scams to watch for. And then the big one, Andy, you reminded me on this. I almost forgot.
Which one?
The last one.
ACV?
Yep. Oh. Versus trade allowance. Dealers like to use this. ACV versus trade allowance.
So I'm glad I know more than you.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. That's what you're on here for. That's what we like to have you on the podcast, because it gives us the awesome portion of...
You act like I'm a guest star when I am a co-host.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Every week.
Yes, every week. That's why I have you on here. Is that what I said? That's what I said, right?
How about it should just be the Andy Show?
The Andy Show, right? Yeah. Beyond the pod. Beyond the pod.
Get rid of the Chevy guy.
I can't even talk now. You're making me laugh. Beyond the Showroom podcast with Andy.
Exactly.
So, ACV versus trade allowance. It's a huge deal. People, you know, like a dealership will say, hey, listen, we'll give you $10,000 on your car. And then you come over to my dealership and I give you $5,000, because that dealership's playing games and they're basically lying and cheating you out of your trade value. So we're going to talk about that. So, so we're going to get into that. So we're going to talk about the very first thing. We're going to get it right out the gate. We're going to talk about how to properly determine your trade-in value. There's so many things out there. What's a couple of services that you know of to determine your trade value?
Well, I know what you like to tell people to use, and that's either the KBB Instant Cash Offer, or isn't Auto Trader?
Nope. But keep going. What else? What other ones are out there that you know? Do you know of any other ones besides
those?
I'm
trying to think of what the other one is.
True Car. Yeah. Yep.
I couldn't think of which one, the other one that you said.
What else? What else? Have you heard of any other ones?
No.
No? Okay.
Because I don't go on. Since I have a salesman in the family, and he does all our purchasing, all I have to do is say, hey, I want this car. Want that car.
Who's a salesman?
Well, he's really horrible.
I am a horrible salesman. Can't even get my own car here, right? A horrible salesman. So, we're going to talk about how to properly determine your trade-in value. Most people do the wrong thing. Let me talk about a few of the wrong things to do. One, don't get on NADA. NADA is not your friend when it comes to trade value. NADA is your friend when it comes to bank value. Most banks use NADA value. There's another one called Black Book that some banks use. Black Book just got me a deal. I couldn't believe I got this deal with Black Book. First time car buyer or new time car buyer. He's had a car loan, but he was jumping up way, way, way up in the value of the vehicle. So that was helpful that we had Black Book and it was way too high. And we got a good call from the bank to get him financed because of that. So he didn't have all the cash down. He needed like $3,000 or $4,000 down and just didn't have it. And having that book value actually helped us out. So that kind of tells you a little bit of difference between the book values out there between Black and NADA. So then, of course, you got Kelley Blue Book, and you have different, we're going to talk about this as well. You have different values on Kelley Blue Book. You go to Kelley Blue Book and you get two different values on your one car. That is kind of goofy. So that's why you have to do it right and know how to get it.
Well, they have the private sale value.
Yep.
And then they have, is it trade-in or is it considered retail?
There's trade-in and then there's retail as well. And then
it's been so long since I've even attempted to get on Kelley Blue Book to do any type of research.
Right. And then there's certified pre-owned as well. And Smitty Rock, thanks for it. Appreciate all the content. Stay healthy. Can't wait for the Z06 info drop. Can't wait for it either. Smitty Rock gave us $5 super chat. Thank you. So, you go to Kelley Blue Book and you can get two different trade values, right? So that's kind of crazy. And then they give you this crazy range and all that stuff as well on it. So it's very, very confusing. And then So some things you don't want to do also is call your Department of Motor Vehicles. So in Kentucky and a lot of different Commonwealth states, you pay personal property tax on. So how the state determines personal property tax is based off of some type of value they come up with, NADA value, stuff like that. So when you get
most money they can find.
Yeah, exactly, right? So they want to get the most tax out of you as possible. So they're going to evaluate. They're going to value your car as high as possible. So they have their own way of doing it. I know Kentucky, they pretty much just go off of NADA retail. And so when someone comes into the dealership, they say, well, the state says my car's worth this much money. And I'm like, we don't care what the state says, you know? So, they're trying to get as much tax as you can. So you can't call the state and ask. And most important, you can't call the bank and ask either. People call the bank all the time and say, hey, what's my car worth? And, you know, that's just a really, really, bad thing to do. So, I appraised my car today on Kelley Blue Book, and you're going to see that pop up on the screen right here. My car.
I know. Which car?
My car.
Which one?
The one I didn't drive today.
You don't have a car here.
My Corvette. I had my Corvette appraised today on Kelley Blue Book. So you can see that the trade-in range is $35,225 to $38,464. So any breathing human being out there is going to walk into a dealership and say, oh, my car's worth $38,000, right? $38,464. That's what I want.
It's a Corvette. It's worth $40,000,
$45,000. Yeah, always, right? Always. It's always funny because people are always saying, hey, they want the most out of their car, but then when they want to buy one, they're always wanting the cheapest one. I see all the time, is there any cars out there for $35,000? It's like, nope, there's no cars out there for $35,000. So it's always kind of funny. But so this is what I looked at right before we got on the stream. 35,225 to 38,464. And Kelley Blue Book says that, hey, a good trade-in value would be $36,845. So with that being said, they say, hey, listen, this is the trade-in range, but a good value is $36,845. So then I hop over to private party value, because a lot of people do like to sell their cars private party, and you can see that the private party is 39.1 to 42.7, and they said, hey, a good private party value would be 40,942 is what they're saying for the podcast listeners, but $41,000 would be a good value, and that's probably dead on. It's probably our car is probably a 41 to 42 retail number. So that's more of a retail number than a private party number. I think private party would be 38, 39. As a private party individual, if you're selling it on social media or listing it for sale or telling your friends, I definitely would ask 41, 42 for it. Right. Right. You agree?
Sure. I think you should have done my Tesla.
I don't want that type of negativity in my life. So,
that value's gone down.
Way down, way quick. So that's kind of what is showing on private party. So coming back up here to the trade-in value, we look at trade-in value of 35,225 to 38,464 on Kelley Blue Book, and the trade-in value, they're saying a good range is 36,845. Well, I went ahead and did the liberty of going on to Kelley Blue Book instant cash offer, and when you start looking at this instant cash offer, all of a sudden they say, hey, listen, we'll write you a check for $36,000. Oh, wait a second, but you were just telling me that my car is worth anywhere from 35.2 to 38.4. So why are you saying that, hey, if you're willing to write a check and get involved with a dealer, why are you telling me the lower side of the number, right? Because now they're putting their checkbook and their dealer's checkbook into effect. So, and that's the biggest thing you have to remember when you have a trade-in value is whoever is willing to write the check for it is the one doing it. And Kelly Blue Book, and I just saw Dave Parker, Kelly Blue Book shows about 3 to 4K less than the NADA shows for my 2011 UConn. And that's right, because NADA is way too high. NADA is not a good value on a car. It is great for taxes and it's great for banks, but it's not great for us as a dealer because they're just simply inaccurate and wrong. So so they're putting $36,000 on this to give you the value of your car. And the reason they're doing that is because they are having to back that number up with their dealer partners. So, but here's the key thing. Here's the key thing. If you look right under that instant cash offer for the people who are watching, right under that $36,000, let me zoom in. Let me zoom in on that for you. I did that wrong. So let me go back here.
Well, while you're doing all that, we're getting harassed for not wearing green on St. Patty's Day.
Ooh. Today is St. Patty's Day.
Yes. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone.
Yeah. So I'm having a problem with this overlay here. Let me see if I can do this. Nope, can't do it. But anyways, this offer is good for 3 days, not counting Sundays, and can only be redeemed at participating dealer. Kelly Blue Book does not redeem offers, purchase vehicles, or own operate participating dealers. So what I want to get the point out on that is Kelly Blue Book does not write you a check for your car. Kelly Blue Book is a guide, and that's what all of these are, is a true guide. So what dealers do, and we talked about it last week when dealers price their retail cars. So what they do is they use a company called V-Auto, and that's how they price their retail cars based off of what the market is. Well, congratulations. That's what we use to appraise our trade-ins as well. And Kelly Blue or V-Auto is a great company to use for every aspect of a car dealership. And it allows us to have the quickest amount of data. We can pull Carfax right in there. So so one of the things that I did with this KBB private party was, or excuse me, the KBB instant cash offer was when I went through and answered all those questions that they asked, I did not tell them that my car was in an accident. Because we know that my car.
I hear
my
you.
Car? Okay, just making sure.
I'm just tired of correcting it. You
know. So it's always
get
her
on
car.
With your rant.
So it's, I did not tell it I had an accident, because if you tell these computer systems that there's an accident on the Carfax, they're going to make you go into the dealership and get an inspection before they give you a value. So you do want to kind of maybe fib a little bit, maybe not be completely honest with it, but you got to keep that in the back of your head that you have not got the perfect Carfax or auto check on your car. So make sure that you understand that if you're doing that, that you go backwards. So another way to do it, which I have this service on my website, is TrueCar does this as well. So if you go to my website, chevydude.com, you can sit there and evaluate your vehicle. And look at this value here. So this breaks it down just a little bit better on the car's value of it. So you can see that with 24,000 miles on my car, we actually have about an $1,800 loser for having a little bit of higher mileage. That's okay. I'm okay with having the higher mileage. We have a lot of fun in the car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's worth $1,800.
Thinking that we really don't have very high mileage.
We don't, but based off of the average mileage on it,
because
this is going off of the market value. This is going off of TrueCar data, TrueCar values. And I'm not using TrueCar as a trademark name. I'm using it as saying, hey, it's going off of true data and true cars that are being sold, being retailed, being auctioned, yeah, all that stuff.
And we have high mileage for a Corvette.
We do.
Because it's not a garage queen.
But here's the thing that you can't see over there. Our color, the color of our car, we lose $325 for the color of our car. I don't know why, but their algorithms just see that out there. Obviously, we know black, white, and red are the most popular colors out there, so those are going to bring the most money. You go look at a Tahoe or a Suburban, black and white Tahoes usually bring $2,000 more than any other color just because those are the most popular colors. So the original owner gives us $300. I don't think that's really that big of a deal. I don't agree with that number because, you know, what's a one owner car worth $300, right? A one owner car mentally is awesome and it helps you out that maybe, hey, this person took care of their car. It's not been changing hands. It's been driven one certain way, stuff like that. It's kind of old school technology, old school thinking. But it happens that way. But so it does give us this, and our TrueCar cash offer is $36,400. Now, again, you can go to my website, chevydude.com, and put in the TrueCar offer and get that. Use your VIN, use your license plate number, and guess what? Nobody calls you because I don't look at that information. I have that tool on there strictly for you guys to use at not get bombarded from car dealers. It's my system. It goes right to me and I never look at it. So I just get in there and I use it as a guide. When someone calls me and say, hey, what's my car worth? I use the TrueCar data to get all the information, because that's a little bit faster than going to a manager and saying, hey, what's this worth? And I always tell everybody that, hey, listen, I'm looking at this and it looks like the market is this, 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 and this. Want to go further, I can get a little bit more involved, but you know, if you're just looking for a value and whatnot, then you know, it is what it is. So so that's some things that you can do to pretty much determine the value of your car right up front, is make sure you utilize that cash, instant cash offer, and you use the TrueCar offer. Those are the ways that you really want to do it the most, because those are the most accurate ways out there to get the value. Because as I mentioned earlier, KBB, regular trade-in value, NADA, all that stuff, those sometimes a little bit high. So, and then dealerships that put black book value on there is sometimes a little high as well.
Somebody asked about We Buy Any Car. Have mm-hmm. you heard of that?
I haven't heard of that. That's, you know, here's the interesting thing. So when we came out of the economy in 2010, all of a sudden car dealers were buying cars from everybody, right? We buy a car. I haven't heard of that particular company. In particular, maybe that is a real company, makes sense. But if somebody's willing to give you a big dollar amount for your car,
take it.
I sold my Camaro to Carvana,
which we have some questions coming up.
Carvana overpays
CarMax
for
CarMax and Carvana.
CarMax is dead on what your car is worth. So you can go there and get a value if you want to waste 45 minutes to an hour. When we did the video for our car, it was an hour and a half, which was brutal. It sucked so bad.
It was after me running a half marathon that morning and just super sore.
Yep, absolutely. So, and I was just doing that for content, which I kind of regret doing that for content. But so that's one thing you can do as well, is take your car and physically have it done it. But you can also take it to a independent dealership and say, hey, listen, I don't need to buy a car. I just want to sell this one. And you can go, say you're going to trade it in at my dealership. You can go to the dealership across the street, because every dealership is buying cars. And you can say, hey, listen, I just want to sell my car. What's it worth? And they're going to give you an actual cash value of the car. They're not going to give you a trade value. And that's one way you can do it as well. Which I think this epidemic that we're having right now with the health issue, I see dealers, I hate this. I do not like this at all. Dealers are being stupid for this. And for the dealers who are listening, stop doing this right now. You are absolutely crazy, insane for doing this. Do not advertise taking cars to customers. This is brutal. This is really bad, because it puts you into a trick basket with many states that we take a car to a customer, they have a 3-day right to rescission and just back out of the car. I know a lot of dealers are doing these 7-day test drives and stuff like that, but most dealers don't. Once you sign on the dotted line, it doesn't matter if you've left the car lot or not. It's your car. It's not the dealership's car anymore. So I think we're going to start seeing a little bit more of that after this epidemic, because the car dealers are desperate to sell a car, because it has slowed down a little bit, but not a whole lot. I haven't seen a drop in anything. I did see one person actually text me today and say, hey, I want to back out of my Corvette. You know, he's just got $1,000 deposit. And he's like number 200 on my list, right? Not that big of a deal. But do you have any questions over there about that stuff?
We have a lot of questions.
I bet we do.
But, well, we've already discussed CarMax and Carvana and Vroom and that type of stuff. But somebody did have a trade-in of a Mini Cooper, and the dealer, when they went to list it for sale, had it listed $2,000 below what they gave him.
Yep.
The question was, how do they make profit on that?
So I guess we can kind of skip ahead to this. They basically gave you a trade allowance. They didn't give you actual cash value. They've lied to you about the value of your car. It's the best way and the easiest way I can explain it. And if a dealership wants to get mad at me for saying that, please call me tomorrow. please call my dealership tomorrow and complain that I'm telling you to stop using trade allowance. Be truthful to your customers. Be truthful to everybody out there. Make it an even playing game and a playing field for everybody out there. Allow the customer to do what they want to do. Allow the customer to buy a car that they want to buy a car from whom they want to buy a car from. And guess what? When you stop playing these stupid games, we're going to put Carvana and Vroom out of business, because Carvana and Vroom are ruining our business right now. And it's good for the consumer if you just want to sell a car to them, because they're overpaying, as I mentioned earlier. But buying a car, it's not that great.
I mean, you're pretty much overpaying to buy the car.
Right, correct. So basically what they're doing is every car out there has some sort of value associated with it. So if I have my car that I'm trading in, and I'm going to just use round numbers here, and I think that my car is worth $20,000, and that's the value that I set on in our little appraisal sheets that we have, the manager writes actual cash value $20,000. Well, the dealership may say, hey, listen, we're going to show this person $25,000 because we don't know if they're committed yet. We don't know if they're going to leave the dealership and go to dealership B, C, D, and E. And when they try to shop us and that dealership gives an actual cash value of 20 and we tell them 25, we're going to be a higher price. So that dealership lied to you 100% about the value of your car, and they can list it for $2,000 cheaper because that's not the value they give the car. So that's why I think it's a really good thing to walk in and find out what it is. And you got to ask the number one question. Andy, do you know what the number one question is? Oh, wrong button.
Wrong button. It's the purple one.
Will you write a check for the value of my car? Yes. So you have to always ask, will you write me a check for that right there? When someone says that this is your trade value, say, sweet. If you're looking at everything out there and you've done your research prior to, and it just doesn't add up, the dealership is giving you way too much money. Will you write me a check for that right there? There's two answers, yes and no. Now, the dealership's not going to say no if the answer is no. They're going to start beating around the bush. They're going to start saying, well, this, that, the other. Well, we really don't buy cars. Well, this, that, blah, 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 blah. Okay. They're lying to you again. But say that's fine. If they beat around the bush and they say no, that's fine. What would you write me a check for if I didn't buy your car? That's how you find out the ACV of your car. And that's where you can go from there. And if you use my worksheet, I'll put that out on Facebook and stuff like that. I have a video that I have a worksheet that you can start writing everything down on. But, and I'll put it in the description of this video as well and the description of the podcast. So, you got to know the true numbers to make a good, well-informed decision. So you definitely want to make sure you get the actual cash value of your car. So the difference between actual cash value is that your car always has one value. There's no multiple values, okay? Maybe dealership B is $500 high or $500 low, right? That's an opinion based off of what market they're looking at or what they're looking at on the market. I said that wrong. What they're looking at on the market. So an opinion of sales manager A and sales manager B may be a little off, but they're not going to be thousands off. They're not going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off. So, and then trade allowance is basically like a discount of the car you're buying, the ACV, maybe some rebates in there. Maybe they're just making up a number, they're over allowing, stuff like that and whatnot. So that's what you got to ask when you're looking at actual cash value, when you're trading in, get the truth. So the best things again is use Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer, TrueCar, or ChevyDude.com, trade in value. Go to an independent dealership and say, hey, listen, I just want to sell you my car. What's it worth? And they'll do it. You can go to CarMax. They'll do it as well. You can get on, what's the one called? I'm drawing a blank. Where I sold my car to?
Carvana.
Carvana. Thank you. I drawn a blank. You can get on Carvana. Carvana's going to be high. Carvana is going to be extremely high on your car. They were $2,500 high on my Camaro when I sold it back in July, which is why I sold it. And now I kind of regret selling it, because here we are 8 months later and I haven't had a sports car to drive every day. You know, I'm driving this
poor
truck.
Baby.
I know. So, but here's one thing you have to remember too. If you sell your car on your own or at a place like Carvana or something like that, is most states give you a tax credit. Sorry, Illinois, your state is screwing you over for sure. But most states give you a tax credit for the value of your car. So let's go back to my Corvette. my Corvette, right? No. Your Corvette?
Yes.
Okay. So, so our Corvette, how's that? Is that better?
No, because I tried to say R-C-8 and you turned that around on me. You're like, what are you talking about? Our C8.
I did do that. I forgot about that the other day. So let's talk about Andy's C7. So Andy's C7, if I traded for this car today, I would evaluate it at $36,000. I think the instant cash offer is dead on. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying that, hey, maybe they're $500 off, right? If someone said, hey, listen, Mike, give me $500 more for my trade, and I felt that $500 wasn't going to hurt my deal to retail the car, there wasn't any reconditioning in the car, dirty Carfax in the car, stuff like that, I might do it, right? So so in where we live, we have a 7% sales tax. So you get 7% sales tax on that car when you trade it in. So that's $2,520 in tax credit that you get when you're purchasing another car. So in a nutshell, you're going to net money out. You're going to net $38,520 on the car. So we looked at the private party value earlier. It's showing at about 41. I think 41's high. I personally think 41's high. I personally think 38, 39 is the real number. Come springtime, can you sell it for 40, 41? Probably. Can a dealership sell it for 41, 42, 43? Probably can. But I think 39 to 41 is the number. So if you trade your car in and you get that tax credit, and in my case, I would have $38,520. You got to think of this. Is it worth to you to do the work, do the effort, maybe have to spend money on detail? And if you don't spend $250 on a detail, you're probably not getting a really good detail. Maybe you can spend $100, right? But you got to take it down there. You got to spend time without the car. You got to, if it's your primary car, not a backup car like what we got in my case with this Corvette, you've got to, get Ubers, get rides, stuff like that. And so there's a lot of stuff involved in it when you're doing that. So you have to make sure that it's worth it to you to sell it on your own privately from the value. I had a lady just this week, Saturday. Tom Mabe. Tom Mabe's a good friend of mine, and he's a big comedian, and you've probably seen him on YouTube and mostly on Facebook. But Tom Mabe's a good friend of mine, and he sent me in this girl who wants to buy a 2500 truck. Well, she had a minivan that she was trading in, and it was worth $13,500. Well, she texts me on Sunday and is like, hey, listen, I didn't realize this, but my ex-husband wants to buy the minivan. I said, no problem. You need to make sure that you get $14,300 out of it, because that's what your net money is on it. And she didn't understand that. I'm like, yeah, because your sales tax is going to go up if you take your trade out. So to break even, you are needing $14,300. And that's an easy sell, right? So she's not gaining anything on that. The ex-husband just wants the van for whatever reason, so she can, like, hey, it doesn't matter. $14,300 from me, $14,300 from him, But if she would have been like, give me $15,500 for it, maybe now they got to start negotiating. Is it really worth the effort? And then you also have to remember this. If you sell it to somebody you know, if you sell it to a friend, if you sell it to a colleague, if you sell it to somebody on Facebook, are they going to come back and haunt you if something goes wrong with that car as well? So there's a few pitfalls when that goes to that as well. And it's just things that I've seen, things that I've seen people go out there and do. And the infamous thing in the car business is that car deals cost friendships. Have you heard me say that before?
I don't think so.
I've said it. Maybe not at home. Oh, we don't talk much about the car business at home. Now we do every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. But
yeah, I have to hear a lot of about the car business.
So,
now.
But the thing of it is that you sell a car to somebody, and their perception of that car is you sold them a bad car, you sold them a lemon. Now they're like pissed at you, and they don't want to be your friend anymore. And you're like, you sold me that. You didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me that. Or you go to a family gathering or a friend gathering, and they're like, well, that car, I had to put new brakes on it, blah, 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 right? That's stuff you got to hear as well. And I'm pro sell your car whichever way you want, right? So as a dealership, I want you to trade your car in for me, because at my dealership, this is my dealership. My dealership, if I trade for a car and you as a customer call my dealership, don't know who I am, and you say, hey, listen, I saw this car on Car Gurus, and is it still available? Because that's the number one question asked in question. Yeah, that's the number one asked question to a dealership. Is this car still available? Can I come in and see it? My dealership is going to get me and you together because I traded for it. I think that's a great philosophy. So managers, if you're listening, get the trade-ins with your salespeople who trade it in. It makes these cars turn so much quicker. But so with that being said, if you decide that you want to sell it on your own, there's proper ways and proper techniques to market this for you. If you want to market your car, you can utilize the same websites and the same stuff that the dealers use. You can use Car Gurus. Car Gurus is the big one right now, guys. Car Gurus is so big and they're spending so much money on everything that people are going there left and right. I love Car Guru customers. When a Car Guru customer comes in, I absolutely love it because they are so informed, and you guys know this with me. I love informed customers. Informed buyers are the easiest people to deal with because they're coming in and knowing the game. They're knowing the pricing. They know what the car's got on it. They know how long the car's been in inventory. They know everything, right? And when we're smart about a subject or we're informed about a subject, that makes the whole process much, much easier, which is why I'm doing these podcasts, which is why I'm doing these live streams every Tuesday night, because I want to inform you to make the car buying experience easier. As you guys know, I don't do these to have you call me tomorrow and buy a car for me. And matter of fact, I don't want you to call me to buy a car. Don't take that rude, but I want you to have the best car buying experience from whom you want to buy a car from. If it's your local Chevy dealership right around the corner from you, if it's a Chevy dealership here in Louisville, Kentucky on the other side of town, and that's the dealership you want to deal with, fine. That's cool. I'm okay with that. My dealership's okay with that. We're going to be successful regardless of where you buy a car from. But if you can use my tips to buy a car and make it easy, then that's what this is all about. So use the same tools that the dealerships are using. Car Gurus, Auto Trader, True Car. You can get on there, and a lot of times it's very, very cost effective to do it. What I would not do is use Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist when it comes to retailing or private party selling a nicer car. Say I want to sell my Corvette. I'm not going to list my Corvette on Facebook Marketplace. Maybe I'll post it in some groups. Maybe I'll get into some for sale groups and post it in there, but there's a lot of scams on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. So you've got to be careful on that stuff, but use the same tools that the dealers are using and check out what they're doing. Auto Trader, Kelly Blue Book, True Car and Car Gurus and Auto Trader are some of your bigger ones out there. And use their tools inside there that says, hey, listen, you really need to price your car at this. You know, if you utilize their pricing tool and go in there and say, hey, listen, I want this to be, you know, I want to get 12 grand for my car. And they're telling you that 11.5 is really the number. Get it down to 11.5. Again, the number one question that's asked to a car dealership is this car still available? Take yourself and put yourself in that shoes if you're looking for a car. If a car is too high priced, are you calling that dealership? You're probably not. You're moving on to the next car. So keep that in mind. And that's where a big pitfall comes to car buyers when they're selling them on their own.
Okay. We had somebody ask about a collector car that maybe doesn't have a very high book value, but the market for it is higher. Would you suggest trading that in, private sell?
So a collector car, say, let me think here. Say you have an 87 Camaro. It's really nice, right? That 87 Camaro in my eyes is worth $250 to $500. Let's say it has 80,000 miles on it. Let's be crazy. An 87 Camaro with 80,000 miles on it is super low, and it's probably a super nice car. It's still maybe $1,000, if that. I highly doubt it's even that. It's probably a $250 to $500 car. So you can decide that, hey, just be done with it, get out of it. You know what? I'm going to back up here. I'm going to tell you exactly. I know this dead on. Let's take my 95K 1500 with 88,000 miles on it. That car to my dealership was worth $250 to $500. To the owner of that car, it wasn't worth that. I had to pay for that car. We over allowed on his car deal, right? We didn't really give him his number. He knows this, right? So even if he's listening, he's a subscriber to my channel. he knows that we would not have wrote him a check for the dollar amount that we gave him. But he's like, hey, I don't care how you come up with it. Just give me this much money for my car. But to our eyes, that 25-year-old car, 24-year-old car at the time, it was worth $500 truck. Super nice truck, right? We know that. I bought it. So it's a super nice truck. But it just isn't worth the value. It's just an old vehicle. So, you know, we had to pay for it a little bit, but we made the deal happen and we got a car deal, I think at the end of the month or something like that. But so, yeah, I mean, collector cars, sometimes it's just easier to sell them on your own and get some cash for them, but you just got to realize going into a dealership.
So what if somebody had, say, a C1?
Oh, that's a different story. You need to sell it on your own.
But I mean, that's still a collector car.
Yeah. So you get into those high dollar cars or those really collectible cars. What is it, like a 67 Camaro or something like that? You know,
I think it's 67.
So, yeah. So, you know, those kind of cars, dealership's not going to buy a 29 Ford. Nope. No dealership is going to buy that. You're going to be insulted by the price that they give you. It's you gotta just gotta sit there and just, you know, sell it on your own and stuff like that. But that's what you have to do if you have those older cars. Just look at them and see what the dealership's willing to give you, and you know, sell it on your own. But the older the car is, doesn't mean the more value it is, and it's not what the dealership's looking for. They're looking for modern cars that they can sell and you know, 15, 21 days. Lukey Love says, does Bachmann Chevrolet pimp up Chevy Volts? No, I don't think so. I don't know what that means. Rip off stickers or what? So is there any other questions over there?
Oh, we have plenty of questions.
You put that person in timeout.
I did not. Asked politely and now you can put them in a timeout.
I'm just going to put them in a timeout. You're in timeout.
Okay. So we had one person ask, do you generally get a better deal with or without a trade-in?
Say that again. Sorry, I was reading this message.
Do you generally get a better deal with or without a trade-in?
So I was going to bring that up. So it's perfect question. So you got to look at a lot of dealers right now are giving you trade-in bonus cash because this whole internet era, which makes us smarter as consumers, we can sell our car much, much easier. So if it's being sold, if we as a consumer can sell our car much, much easier, then that allows you to do that. And it takes the power away from the dealer. So the dealer is giving extra trade value, like a rebate or a bonus cash on debt. We're doing it. We vary from $1,000 to $3,000. So again, you got to kind of take that into account. Remember, let's go to the high number and say $41,000 for my Corvette, right? Or her Corvette, of what we're going to net if we have a trade-in credit. Now, my dealership on new Corvettes is given $2,000 additional trade value. So now we're talking $40,520 plus the additional $2,000 you don't have to pay sales tax on. So now you're almost getting exactly what your car is worth without having to go through the hassle and selling it and stuff like that. So it varies on dealership to dealership. My dealership, we're giving you a bonus cash to not sell your car and to trade it in because we have more value in having it and retailing it and having a customer out of it, especially if it's a Chevy.
And the same person wanted to know, is it less hassle as a salesperson to deal with a buyer with no trade?
It's a little bit less time. So most car dealerships, you can have a car appraised in 15 minutes. So to me, no, I go out and I use my phone and I take a picture of the VIN in the door and I take a picture of the odometer and I walk back in. So I've showed you guys those silent walk around videos where the dealerships will try to devalue your trade. If that happens, you just shut your mouth and you don't say anything and don't let them devalue your trade. But, that's all I do. I'm a unique person when it comes to car sales because I don't do all the BS stuff that a lot of people do. So I just don't have time for that. So I just don't do stuff like that. So it's just a matter of the time is not that big of a deal. So
okay, and we had Corey who.
Our dog?
Yeah, our dog.
Our dog's name is Corey.
No, he purchased a 14 Camaro 2SS 1LE that he says you were the original salesman when it was new. So it doesn't mean he bought it from you.
No, I think I know who this is.
He wants to know what you should expect out of the aftermarket add-ons when trying to trade in. So selling it outright or trading it in, do your aftermarket add-ons add any value?
No, I think this is the gentleman who hit me up on Instagram and or something, maybe Facebook or something. But he hit me up and said, "Hey, look, you sold this and it had one of my silver chrome stickers in there, one of my original OG
that is
OG stickers in the door saying, hey, you sold this." I get that all the time, but I kind of remember the Camaro someone hitting me up. So, but no, if when you mod your car, when you aftermarket your car, nothing that you put on it builds value in your car. You got to realize that that is, what do you want to call that? You want to call that, why am I drawing a blank on that? Customization. That's what it is. You are customizing that to your likes, right? You're not customizing that to her likes or my likes. You're customizing that to your likes. So what you do is unique to you. So in my video on Thursday, I'm going to show you a car with a pinstripe and I'm going to tell you why that car has a pinstripe because the people are older. I think someone my age, I don't want no pinstripe on my car. And this is on a Corvette too, by the way. But you know, to that person right there, that pinstripe builds value with them because they like the way it looks. You're not going to walk into a dealership and be like, that's got a pinstripe. Give me $500 more, right? It's a $10 pinstripe, $15 pinstripe. So, but if you put, you know, put big mud flaps on it, or you put a 6-inch lift kit on it, stuff like that on your truck, or, you know, you turbo, or you put a blower on your Camaro, that's not going to really build value in the car. And actually it's going to decrease value in the car because not everybody wants a blower on the car. But at the same time, if you can find that right buyer for it, then yes, that makes an easier sell. Because I had a customer that traded in his 14 Camaro for a 14 Camaro because my car had a supercharger on it and it was pulling about 650 horse, and he was getting ready to spend about 20 grand in order to do that. So, so that built value for him that he didn't have to spend 20 grand and he just bought a car and was done with it.
Okay, so we've been talking about ACV and trade allowance and basically selling your car to a dealership. Say we're not trading in, we're just going straight to the dealership to sell our car. What happens when you still have negative equity in that car?
Yeah, so if you have negative equity, you when you purchase a car, you're obligated to pay that loan off in full. It doesn't matter how long you do it. If you did a 72-month loan, you pay it off in 72 payments, or you did a 72-month loan, you pay it off in 24 payments. You're obligated by your bank contract to pay that off. So if you go trade a car in, it's worth 20 grand, you owe 30, you're going to have to write the dealership a $10,000 check. Most times dealerships will take your payoff and send it to the bank on your behalf, because then the title comes to them for those states that have title holding states that the banks hold the title. Or when we need a lien release, like say we here in Kentucky, the consumer holds the title regardless if there's a loan on it or not, but we do need a lien release for that car. So we'll send the money to the bank and get that lien release as well and pretty much take you out of it so you don't have to deal anything else. But you're responsible to pay that regardless what it is. And it's kind of like vice versa. Say you owe 20 grand in a car and the car is worth 30. You're expecting the dealership to write you a $10,000 check after your payoff. So yeah, so you're obligated and responsible for that payoff.
Okay. And we had a viewer say they have a 2016 Silverado with 150,000 miles. They owe 23. Is it a good time to be looking at trading it in now with the interest rates and everything else?
What year was that truck?
2016.
2016. They owe 23 and it has 150,000 miles on it?
Yes.
That truck is probably worth 18, 19, 17 maybe? 17 to 19, I would imagine. Just going off of only knowing three things. Only knowing two things. This is 2016, 150,000 miles. I don't know crew cab, double cab, if it's LTZ, LT. I just know the market.
Yeah,
it's most likely an LT crew cab or double cab all-star package. Okay. So that's what they all are. So that's what's in my head. And that's what made me think. So it's probably a $17,000 to $19,000 car. Now it's probably a $15,000 to $17,000 car. Would it be sold for $19,900 retail? Something like that. You can kind of see what goes through my head real quick here when I'm thinking through this really, really quick. So,
and again, the best way is to sit there and check out True Cars.
Yep. So you can look at it because the thing that I'm looking at here with his question is he can go and maybe not have too much negative equity or go from his interest rate
it's
that he has.
LT double.
See, I told you I was on it. He can go to a 0% interest rate. But what I haven't looked at because it was announced yesterday and I was busy today ordering Corvettes and I didn't get a chance to look at incentives and read up on them and understand them is most likely you're going to have to give up all these rebates to get 0%. So I'm going to try to do this tomorrow, but you have to really look at is 0% worthwhile. So I know Chevrolet is doing a great job of trying to take care of people and making sure everything's doing good. But if you have to give up $8,000 to get 0%, that's not a good deal. So you just have to look at what you're giving up. And the dealership should, I always do it, the dealership should run a comparison for you to say, hey, this is if you take your traditional interest rate and all the incentives and all the rebates, and this is if you give up incentives and take 0%.
I think the biggest thing right now with that 0% offer that GM's doing is that they're allowing it to go out 7 years.
Yes.
From what I've seen.
Yeah, 7 years.
So that's a big deal to people because a lot of times it's not that long of, you know, for the interest at 0%, they do the shorter terms.
Yeah, I forgot that it was 84 months.
So
yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's going out so long and people may be willing to give up the rebates just to be going out that long and have that lower payment.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. That could be a possible too, but you got to realize that the average consumer trades their cars every 36 to 39 months. So if you do 84 months, you are going to keep in your car for a while. So, and I guess that kind of leads us into our next subject of today's podcast of how to get out of negative equity. It's probably the number one question of how to get out of negative equity. There's I think three ways. Write a check, sell at retail, or pay all your payments equally over the time. There's no magic formula to get out of negative equity. When you purchase a car, you're obligated. That's all you have is obligations on that car. Now, when you lease a car, you have options, but we're not going to get into the leasing versus buying today. But when you buy a car, you're obligated. I said it earlier, you're obligated to make each payment on time to the bank and pay the full balance off. So if you buy a $50,000 car, you will pay $50,000+ back because of interest, but you're going to pay that money off 100%. And it doesn't matter if you, in 3 years, you decide to trade and you roll it over into a new loan because that's how you get negative equity typically. Another way you get negative equity is not putting 20% or more down when you purchase a car. Most people do not put 20% down. It is what it is. But to get out of the negative equity, it just takes time. It takes so much time to do it. And, you want to go shorter terms. If you want to do 72 months, that's fine. I think it's okay to do 72 months, but I think in a nutshell, you need to pay about 80% of your payments. So, if you have a 72 month loan and 72 times 0.80, you need to probably pay 55 to 60 payments worth before you decide to trade in. I think, and that's the key thing.
Now, with all these rebates, you know, say we'll take a Silverado. I don't even know what the rebates are on. So
let's just say $12,000. Let's just say $12,000 off.
Okay. I was going to use 10.
Okay.
So
let's use 10. It's easy math.
If there's like $10,000 off a Silverado and you happen to have $8,000 negative equity, how does that work in your favor?
It doesn't work in your favor. It allows you to borrow more money on the vehicle because your loan to value is more in line. But you got to realize that car is being reduced by $10,000. Well, when it leaves the lot, it's going to lose another $8,000 because when you take a brand new car off the lot and you decide you want to trade it in 1,000 miles in 1 month, right? You have to market that car to someone who is willing to buy a new car, but now they see this one over here, and what are they willing to pay for a used car with 1,000 miles on it, right? I'm going to the extreme that you're going to trade in 1 month, 1,000 miles. So, but that's what you have to look at on the new car versus used car market is, okay, I need to steal a new car buyer and flip them to a used vehicle. So now I have to have that price point in line. And what's that going to take? So you as a consumer, you guys in the chat, if you were looking at a $30,000 car, doesn't matter what it is, brand new, no miles, what would it take you to buy that exact same car with 3,000 miles on it? How much of a discount under 30,000? Throw it in the chat below for the live streamers. What would it take? How much money would it be to have a 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000 mile car below 30 grand? That's the question you have to ask yourself. And that's what happens when you want to trade something in. That negative equity doesn't just poof go away. That negative equity is always there. And a big terminology that inside the car business they use is the terminology buried. You're buried in your car because you have so much negative equity. Without big cash down, no bank is going to finance you because banks have what's called LTV, loan to value. So Russell said right away, 24,000. He says, and this is fine. There's not a wrong answer here. The only way there'd be a wrong answer is if the dealership's not willing to sell it for that, right? But they're telling me 6,000 under, 7,000 under from Cascada. Justin said 4 to 5 with a CPO warranty. So there's real data from real people that are on this live stream that they're saying that, hey, if I'm going to buy a car, a used car, and it doesn't have the new car quality, the new car smell, the new car warranty, just the ideology behind it saying I bought a new car, there's your real information right there. So that's the kind of things you look at when you look at rebates. That's not a discount on a car. They should just sell the car for that price anyways in the first place. My thing, I hate rebates. Rebates are so complicated and so convoluted, but that's what GM does, and it's what Ford does, and it's what Chrysler does. You go to Subaru ain't got no rebates. Volkswagen probably doesn't have many rebates.
Honda doesn't.
Good luck on getting a rebate over at Subaru. You're lucky to get $500 off on a brand new price on a brand new car. So, but that's just the way they do it. So, Mark Vincent, he just said it perfect. I didn't remember this. Mark Vincent just said the best thing, and this is dead on. It has to be 1,000 under what a new car with a GM employee discount would be. Dead on. If I appraise a new car, I don't have to do that much around here because we don't have many employees, but back up in Fort Wayne, we have a lot of GM employees. Down here in Louisville, we have a lot of Ford employees. Now we have a bigger risk or a bigger concentration of employee pricing. We have to be past that. So I'm going to be 3 to 5 grand below employee pricing if you trade that car in. So Mark said it perfect. That's dead on comment for Mark. With that being said, you know, the only way to get out of negative equity is paying it. But I'm just kind of trying to get into more depth and more detail on everything on it rather than just saying you got to pay it off, right? There's no context to that. But you know, you can't get out of negative equity in a magic wand.
Well, we have a question. I'm upside down $2,500 on my 2016 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I want to trade it in. I have $4,000 cash. Should I put the $4,000 on my loan to get equity in it, or use it for a down payment?
So if you're going to trade, I always tell people use that money as a down payment. Don't send it to your bank, right? So it's going to go to the same place. There's no different. I mean, you can send $2,500, which now, again, in today's technology, you get on your Capital One account or your Bank of America or whoever your car loans through, and you pay that $2,500 instantly right there. You're more than welcome to do that. If you're thinking about it and you're going to go to the dealership tomorrow, just give the dealership your $4,000. If you got that money burning a hole in your pocket and you think you're $2,500 upside down, just write a check to the bank real quick. And you know, if you go shopping in a week or a month or 2 months, you know, your lower value or your lower payoff is already calculated in there.
Okay. We have a question, and this is kind of a little off topic, but still on topic. I'm looking at a 2015 Suburban LTZ, Preferred Equipment Group 1LZ, with 62K miles for $33,000. Is that a good deal?
So, what year car is it?
2015 Suburban LTZ.
For 33,000. How many miles?
62,000.
That's pretty dead on. So Suburbans and Tahoes are some of the hardest vehicles to get a hold of. That's highly sought after. So my dealership, that's like the only cars we buy from like Enterprise and Hertz are those cars. We have bought, listen, this is crazy, right? This is how hard this market is. We have literally bought the asking price on a Hertz website before and been able to turn around and sell it for higher value. You know, we pay a retail value, what they're saying is retail value, and turn around and sell it for more money. That's not taking advantage of anybody. That's just what the market is. Maybe the market in Florida is a little bit different than it is in Kentucky, but those are really, really hard to get a hold of. And if you can get a 33,000 mile, 60,000 mile LTZ Suburban, you know, with proper maintenance, that truck will last 300,000 miles easy. And you don't have to spend $75,000 now, because that's what that truck's worth now is $75,000. And if you can get $8,000 off MSRP, you're doing really, really good. So the last topic of this podcast is scams to watch for. This is a huge one, right? There's so many scams out there. And I just recently saw this on Facebook out there, and I see it all the time. And this is what you have to watch for. So let's talk about selling your car privately. Let's assume you're selling your car privately. You're listing it on multiple websites. You're listing on Craigslist. You're listing on Facebook Marketplace, where the case may be. And you're going to have strangers come over to your house, meet you somewhere in public, and test drive your car. What's it going to take for them to pull out a gun and say, "Get out of my car"? Right? It's happened. Look, Google it. It's happened. It just happened in Scottsburg, Indiana, just a couple years ago here in Louisville metro area. And luckily, the guy was a concealed carry, and he got his gun out, and it was a showdown, and the guy had a BB gun, right? So luckily that was a good ending. But you know, one, I wouldn't recommend that. I'm a concealed carry guy, and I practice a lot of active self protection with gun and stuff like that. But he probably did that all wrong. But again, I don't want to be in a gunfight with anybody. I don't want to pull my gun on anybody. It's there in the event of, but it's not something that's worth it. But that's what you got to worry about. Okay, now you let them go out without you in the car. Your car never comes back. That's something to watch out for.
That's happened.
So now, you know, someone will say, "Oh, well, I just make an insurance claim on it." That costs you money in your insurance that your car got stolen. And then when they find out, well, how they get it? Well, I let them have it. I was trying to sell my car. That's a claim on your insurance. That's a negative effect on your insurance claim history. So, and then we get into the fake payments. There's so many fake payments out there. And trust me, people try to fake us out all the time. And I don't talk about it a lot because I don't want people to get smarter on it. You know, I did the really good video as this guy tried to come in and was going to pass a bad check on us. And I eliminated and I deleted how we found out, right? And I love it because people try to roast me on there and they're like, "Well, who takes a personal check without checking it? Blah, blah, blah." Well, you don't know what I did to find out that it was fake, that he didn't have the money, other than what I told you. But I'm not going to go into the details and telling you my checks and balances to protect my dealership and protect myself from it. But I'll tell you that there's fake cashier's checks out there. There's fake banks, bank withdrawals out there. There's fake wire transfers out there. If you go look at anything on YouTube for people scamming scammers, you know, this getting back at the scammers, there's people out there that have setups that, like, "Hey, listen, I'll show you how wire transfer it. What's your bank account information?" And they have a program on their computer that makes it look like it transferred. It sends a text message to you that you got your money, and it's not really there. They write, you know, the biggest ones is, you know, "Hey, I'm going to write you a check, but you know, it's too much money. Just give me the cash back." We know those are scams, right? Those are seen a million miles away. We got a check up. My daughter was trying to sell
a flute.
And someone did that, and she didn't know any better, right? But we caught it. Thank goodness she told us. And, you know, it's like, that's the oldest scam in the book, but it happens to people. So that being said, you know, there's so many scams out there that we don't know. And I just recently saw a Z06 get scammed by someone. And you know what they're left with? They're left with a payment and no car, which is kind of the way I feel right now with my Corvette. I paid for my car, but I don't have it.
Yeah.
Got pieces of it.
Okay, so we had, and this has been texting and on the live stream, Ott Life. Oh, I don't even know if I said that right, but He says, I have a 2010 Chrysler Town and Country touring van and got an offer from Carvana for $950 and Vroom for $250. So I guess my take on it is when
What do I do with that?
Well, when you're getting offers that low, there's a good chance they're saying, I don't want your car.
Yeah, that's a left-handed turn down, right? That's what we call in the industry a left-handed turn down. When we have someone like maybe subprime credit or a lot of negative equity, that the bank will say, oh yeah, we'll do it, but we need $15,000 down, and the customer's got $1,000 down, right? That's saying, hey, we'll do it, but we know you'll never do it, right? So it's a left-handed turn down. Apologize to any left-handers out there. That might be I just thought about that. It might be a negative door towards left-handers. I don't know. It's just the terminology that I've heard in 20 years in the car business. But that's basically saying, hey, yes, we'll buy your car, but we really don't want it. Body shop buddy of mine, he's so busy, doesn't want any business, quotes everything almost double because he's so busy, right? And someone took him up on his double the price offer. This is like 10 years ago, right? It's not current, but it's like somebody's paying that. He says, yeah. He says, I didn't want the business, but I didn't want to tell him no. So I jacked it up. And in my dumb butt, I sat there and I'm just being honest with you. I just had a guy just absolutely treat me like crap through an email. And I just email him back. I'm like, sir, I'm not really interested in doing business with you. Have a great day. And he comes back and he fires me and wishes me to die and stuff like that. And then he contacts my department again and he tries to turn it around on me like, wrong. They're going to believe me more than they believe you. But so yeah, it's kind of like a left-handed turn down when they do that. So that's just something you just definitely want to sell on your own. If they're offering that and you got like stupid high miles on it, like say you got 200,000 miles, cause that's again, 2010, I'd assume it's got to have high mileage on it. Go out and sell it for $1,500. You know, if you get 1,000, you're $50 ahead, but I would imagine that you could probably sell that thing for $1,500, $2,000 all day long. On that, but that's the reason they're doing that. Next question. We got another question.
Well, we have a lot of different questions, but not all of them have to do with what we're talking about. So, Brett says, I have a 2019 Camaro 1SS. I have a loan through someone else. How can I get into the 0% interest if possible?
Hey, just trade it in. It's really simple. Nothing of a big deal. It happens all the time. So right above him is, can I trade two cars in for one new car? Absolutely you can. So you need to check with your state because some states only give you tax credit for one car. Kentucky does give you tax credit for two cars, but their system does not allow you to get tax credit on two cars. So there is a way to get around that. And I'm not going to put that on social media. I'm going to keep this close to my chest because this is how I help my customers out. There's a way to get that tax credit and Kentucky will issue you a check. So that's the value of working with the Chevy dude when you're coming to, this is just for Kentucky, right? So this is not going to affect anybody on there, but there's no reason for dealership ABC across town to get knowledge from me to sell a car and use my stuff against me.
By the way, the Town and Country had 150,000 miles.
and this isn't like an arrogant statement or narcissistic or pat myself on the back. It's just, this just kind of shows, you know, this is two different cars that they just told us very basic information and I hit the nail on the head. And this is when you're dealing with professional car salespeople, when you're dealing with professionals in an industry, it doesn't matter what they're doing. This is the stuff that they know and this is the stuff they see. So I think I said 200,000 miles, but I said high mileage and then I said maybe 200,000 or something like that. You can go back to the replay and see. But but that's just the type of stuff I see. The guy with the LT double cab, I said LT double cab, maybe a crew. With All-Star package. That's just a common thing.
Okay, we have a couple good ones here. When trading in a car, is it better for the buyer to trade it in to the same make as the used car? So basically Chevy to Chevy, Honda to Honda, etc.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of different theory on that. So like my dealership, because we're so big, and even before my social media, right, it has nothing to do with me in any way, shape, or form. If I left my dealership today, they would be fine. That dealership is not successful because of me. I promise you 100%. But the With my dealership being so big, we took in this $104,000 Lexus something or other. You know, the guy bought a Corvette.
Well, you guys also have had a Bentley.
I've sold a Ferrari through there, stuff like that. So we're not afraid to take in that odd car. Now, the turn on a Bentley or Ferrari is sometimes a lot longer. So some dealerships are afraid to take in something like that. So yes, would a Lexus dealer rather trade a Lexus? Absolutely. Would a Chevy dealer rather trade a Chevy? Absolutely. But see, here in Louisville, Kentucky, I want some Fords on my lot too, because we're in a big Ford town. So it just depends on the market. But most importantly, you know, if they're a big dealership, they shouldn't be scared of it, because they're looking at the market and looking at the turn of market. So the newer car, sometimes it's harder if you have a lot of certified pre-owned stuff. We don't certify pre-owned stuff at our dealership. It's kind of a waste of money, and that's really all I want to say about it, because I don't want to have GM call and say that I'm bashing them. But so we don't certify pre-owned stuff at our dealership. Some dealerships do. So if I take a Honda in that's maybe like a 2016 with 50,000 miles on it, and there's a 2016 with 50,000 miles on it at the Honda dealership across town, and they're certified pre-owned it, their car is going to be more valuable in the human eyes than my car at my Chevy dealership. So that's a disadvantage that I have, is I can't certify pre-owned that car.
Okay.
We'll do one more question for the podcast. We're an hour, 10 minutes for the podcast. So we'll do that, and then we'll kill the podcast, and we'll stay on afterwards for the live streamers for a little bit. And that's what we do.
Try to answer some more of these questions.
We try to get to all these questions. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them coming in. We got 4,000 people on the live stream so far for this live stream. So we really appreciate everybody being on here. But we'll ask one more question.
I got it. If you just hush.
I just got to shut up. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, okay. I'll shut up. Amy Brown wants to know, what happens when I trade in current car, which is valued more than the car I am looking at? Will a dealer write me a check for the difference?
Oh, that's a great question to end this with.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yes, good. Yes, they will. Oh, you are good. You are good. You are good. Sarah already gave the answer. Yes, they will give you a check back for it. It happens all the time at my dealership. But yeah, so if you have a $20,000 car and it's worth $30,000, they'll, you know, or you have $20,000 on a loan and it's worth $30,000, yeah, they'll give you that check all day long. Very, very simple. So for the podcasters, we want to say thank you so much for listening to Beyond the Showroom podcast. Again, every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., me and my lovely wife, Andy, are here live on YouTube on the Chevy Dude YouTube channel. If you look up Beyond the Showroom podcast, or excuse me, if you look up Beyond the Showroom on Facebook, we have our Facebook page. If you go to beyondtheshowroompodcast.com, you can see everywhere that the podcast is streamed at, and you can listen on your favorite streaming software. But as always, guys, thanks again for listening. Have a great day and drive safely.
Beyond the Showroom is on the socials. Follow along on Twitter at Chevy Dude. Join the Beyond the Showroom Facebook group by searching Beyond the Showroom. Subscribe to the Chevy Dude YouTube channel. And until next time, have a great day and drive safely.